The future of money is being rewritten with every block added to the blockchain. Today, we dive into the Bitcoin halving, a moment so pivotal it can shift economies and redefine value. This isn't just an event, it's a transformation that questions what we know about scarcity, wealth, and digital currency. Are you ready to explore how a coded ritual every 4 years can change the landscape of finance? This journey in the heart of Bitcoin halving promises insights that could reshape your understanding of money itself. Get ready, crypto dads, and welcome to Dad's Gone Crypto. Ryan, are you as excited as I am, or is this just another day in the life of a crypto dad about the Bitcoin halving?
No, yeah, the Bitcoin halving is definitely a big deal. I'm always super excited when we get to this point. You know, it's not like it changes everything immediately. The price doesn't just shoot right up. But basically, you know, the Bitcoin halving, it cuts the supply of Bitcoin being created in half. So it's a really big deal. It has a significant effect on the cryptocurrency world. It has profound implications for miners, investors, and just the overall market in general.
And also it cites the coming of the start of the bull market per se. So you go into a bear market, and we don't know when it's going to end, and there's certain triggers that happen that people start to get more excited about potentially a push in the bull market. So crypto dads, in understanding the Bitcoin halving and its significance, what is actually the Bitcoin halving? Well, Bitcoin halving is an event programmed into the Bitcoin code that reduces the rewards mining block by half. This halving approximately happens every 4 years, and after 210,000 blocks that have been mined. When Bitcoin was first created a decade ago, or more or less, was the mining blocks were at 50 Bitcoin. So they were basically producing 50 Bitcoins on that block. After the first halving, it was reduced to 25, and then 12.5, and then most recently, 6.25 Bitcoins per block. So Ryan, for those dads out there, just to understand, what does it actually mean by mining a block and the miners are actually mining and getting a Bitcoin and then selling it? How does that process actually work?
Well, you know, they get their picks and axes, they go over to the Bitcoin mountain and they chip away and they find their Bitcoin.
No. I'm coming to visit, Ryan. Have you got a pickaxe for me?
Let's go to Bitcoin Mountain. No, obviously that's not the way it works. So Bitcoin miners are basically solving a mathematical equation in order to secure the blockchain. It started with just a regular computer you could mine Bitcoin with way back in the day. What happens is this difficulty gets harder and harder and harder. Every 2 weeks, actually, the Bitcoin mining difficulty gets harder. So you've got to, you know, people had to specialize equipment. It started with a PC, then it moved into GPUs, then it moved into, you know, ASIC technology. So it's a specialized machine that it does nothing but mine Bitcoin. But what that actually means is when a transaction happens on the blockchain, it has to be recorded, right? So if I send you Bitcoin or if I buy something with Bitcoin, that transaction has to be recorded on the blockchain. And that happens in blocks. So all the transactions that happen within a block, and the code, basically the Bitcoin code, tries to keep that block at around a 10-minute average. All of the transactions that happen within that block are stored to the blockchain by a miner. So basically that miner solves the mathematical equation that allows them to win that block reward. And they then write all of this up to the Bitcoin blockchain. And then all of the, you know, miners have to agree on that. So about every 10 minutes or so, a miner is actually solving this equation, winning the block, and then they get the reward. Right now, that reward, as Sean just said, is at 6.25 Bitcoin. But after the halving in a few days, that reward is getting cut down in half of that. So 3.125 Bitcoin. And that is a really big deal. You know, the significance of the Bitcoin halving It lies in the impact on Bitcoin supply and, you know, and potentially its price then. By having the reward for the for mining, the rate at which new Bitcoin are created obviously gets immediately, it gets cut in half, because for every block that's solved, there's half as many Bitcoins being created. So this is significant because when the, you know, new Bitcoins being created is basically being cut in half and the demand stays constant, well, then the price goes up, right? Because you've got less supply coming in, the demand is still there. Now, what happens though when the demand grows? If the demand for Bitcoin grows and the supply, the new supply coming out is being reduced, that is what, you know, gives us these giant price increases that that we tend to see in the year following the halving.
Ryan, also take into account it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars to buy these ASIC miners or these potential miners and these farms. Now, within a few days, it's literally you take half of that building and you cut it in half or you throw it away. All right. Because in essence, you have to do twice the amount of work now. So therefore, the technology has to improve. And it's good for the evolution of, you know, graphics cards and technologies in the space. But it costs more now because they've got to reinvest in all these technologies.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as that supply gets cut in half and as the difficulty increases, I don't think people understand that very well, but basically every 2 weeks, the difficulty to mine Bitcoin actually increases. So it gets harder and harder and harder. And that's programmed right in the code. Every 2 weeks, there's a difficulty increase. So as it gets harder and harder to mine, you need more and more specialized equipment. That specialized equipment, as you just said, costs a whole lot of money. So the cost to mine Bitcoin raises. And now at the halving, the supply that you're actually mining gets cut in half. So you're getting less reward, even though it costs you more to do it. That's why the Bitcoin price, you know, tends to rise after the halving. Because if it didn't, quite honestly, the miners wouldn't have no incentive to keep mining. You know, if all of a sudden it's costing you twice as much to mine as you're actually making, then, you know, why do you keep doing it? So in general, the idea of Bitcoin is it keeps going up because it costs so much to actually mine it.
And this leads us on to what does Bitcoin actually stand for? Well, first and foremost is scarcity and value. Consider how the principle of scarcity applies to other areas of your life and how it influences the value of perception. Bitcoin is designed intentionally to incorporate scarcity into mimicking precious resources, which traditionally holds long-term value.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that Bitcoin stands for, truly, this to me, I think is the most significance, is just its decentralized control. There's no central government in charge of the money supply, right? Bitcoin decentralizes the control over all of the miners. You know, the millions of computers out there that are mining Bitcoin are basically what control Bitcoin. So there's no central body that can increase or decrease the supply or the value of the currency. It does that all based on the Bitcoin code. Satoshi was an absolute genius in figuring this out and putting it out there for people, because it's decentralized money. And truly, in the future, I think it can bring financial freedom to so many people that their governments, you know, basically have held them down for a very long time.
And of January 2024, that's when the first ETF funds were commissioned by the SEC, and then now became a legal protected asset, right? So that means that your moms and pops can buy Bitcoin without you know, looking over their shoulder or buying it from a dodgy underground exchange. It's available now, and that's why now all the companies are looking to get involved. The pension funds are looking to get involved. The ETFs. So there's a bit of a frenzy to get into Bitcoin because it's been approved by the authorities, and that for 2024 is one of the biggest things that, you know, also helped with the start of the bull run. There are seven important things to know about the Bitcoin halving, right? And the first one up is scheduled scarcity. So every 4 years, of course, Bitcoin undergoes this halving event, cutting the rewards for the miners' new blocks. The program is basically incorporated to help scarcity, create that scarcity, which is a fundamental part of what Bitcoin's value proposition is, which basically intrinsically creates that value perception in precious metals like gold.
Yeah, absolutely. And the second one would be the impact on miners. Halving impacts miners by reducing their rewards for the computational work required to secure the Bitcoin network. And this leads to increased competition among miners, and basically potentially leads to higher transaction fees and a much higher compensation mechanism.
The halving event can influence Bitcoin's price by altering the supply and demand equilibrium. If the demand remains steady or increases while the rate of the new supply decreases, basic economic principles suggest the price may rise.
And the halving also brings, you know, historical price patterns. You know, we can look back and historically, Bitcoin has experienced significant price increases following the halving events. You know, and it's usually over that next year to 18 months, you know, 12 to 18 months is where you're going to get these really significant gains and really get into the bull runs. And, you know, I mean, of course, past performance isn't indicative of future results, but, you know, these patterns are really watched closely by investors and traders. And if you, you know, if you pay attention to the Bitcoin cycles, you'll see that the halving usually marks the real beginning of the bull run for a good year or so after.
And crypto dads out there and moms, just understand that there is a limited supply of Bitcoin. It's not like your local currency that they just keep printing and it's not backed by gold anymore and they just keep printing this paper money, devaluing your worth. Right? It has a long-term supply cap. Bitcoin halving events, which continue to a max supply of 21 million Bitcoins is reached. It's projected that around about 2140, yes, the year 2140, that's when the last Bitcoin will be mined, which is about 120 years from now. So it's we'll be way long dead before the last Bitcoin. Well, mind you, we could have the cryogenesis where the brain is put in. Anyways, there's a definitive supply, which is basically, you know, which institutions are seeing that, well, if there's a limited supply, it's not owned by anybody, it's decentralized. They can't really print more of these things. They have to mine more of these things, and it's the algorithm gets more difficult. It's making sense. It's finally making sense to the institutions.
Yeah, and you know, the halving brings a whole lot of excitement with it, and you know, the market really anticipates the halving events in advance. You know, the Bitcoin ETFs had a big influence, I think, on the market this year. Normally, as we're coming into the halving, you know, we're going to start getting these price increases because people are really getting excited and anticipating the halving. But you know, we don't normally break the last cycle's all-time high until months after the halving's already occurred. In this cycle, you know, this is a little different because I think these ETFs, they brought so much demand into the market that we actually broke the all-time high, you know, a month before the halving. So that's really unusual. And honestly, I think, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, that might shorten the cycle and this and that. I really don't think so. Not financial advice in any way, shape, or form. But I, in my opinion, you know, I just think it's even better for this bull run. I think the, you know, as when the halving cuts the supply in half, and we've got all this demand from the ETFs, I honestly think we are in for a epic bull run here this year.
And Ryan, last but not least, the global economic implications as Bitcoin starts to get adopted, as your mom starts talking about it, as your grand starts to put it, you know, in her portfolio, right, her long-term portfolio, it starts to evolve into something bigger than just, well, it's a coin, right? It becomes an asset class like investing in silver or gold or Kruger Rands. It becomes more, and then the value becomes more. Just a simple example. Now, by no means am I a financial or economist or anything like that, But think about a country that is down and out. You know, another country has taken all its resources. Typically, the country is poor. Now, imagine the country starts to put Bitcoin on their portfolio. Imagine, for instance, the local economy. They're allowed to buy Bitcoin, but they get taxed on their Bitcoin, right? And that tax can be used to paying back international loans and agreements. There's a way for countries to get out of their debt. There's another way, right? And while they're in early, it potentially could change the state of which a country operates. They've just got to think of creative ways to start implementing it at a, obviously without that much risk to its citizens. Yeah, all right, so what happens to the markets traditionally after the halving, Ryan?
Yeah, so right after the halving, you know, the market can be really volatile. Basically, if you think about it, the mining rewards just got cut in half. So some miners are probably no longer profitable. It really can lead to a lot of spikes in price, and it can lead to a lot of dumps in price, honestly. So, you know, the market gets really volatile right around the halving. And I don't know, you know, we may have already had our little pre-halving dump here, that people are kind of anticipating, you know, that volatility. There's a good chance we do go lower, you know, right around the halving. That happens quite a bit. And again, it's just that volatile price movement. You're going to get sell-offs, you're going to get spikes. It might be a little different this time just because of the ETFs bringing all the extra demand into the market. So not really sure exactly what's going to happen, but I know in general, the halving leads to, you know, long-term growth and usually a nice bull market right after it.
And that volatility also is because of the miners. The miners will run their setup right up until the last day that they are profitable. Because remember, there's operational costs, there's housing costs, there's maybe solar costs. There's a lot of, it's not just switch on a machine and start printing, you know, Bitcoin. You know, there's a lot of things that someone has to look after it. There's a lot of costs involved. So the minute it does not become profitable, they start switching them off. So you get these massive amounts of computers that switch off. Then it creates a bit of a shakeup in the market, once again affecting price and volatility.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, you know, as I said before, the big impact on the supply dynamics is that the new Bitcoin being created gets cut in half. And you know, that reduced supply, if the demand is still there, and I honestly think the demand's going to be even higher this time around, it really can help push Bitcoin higher and higher.
During this time, there's quite a bit of speculation, right? So the question is, you know, I got these text messages. Hey, Sean, what do I need to buy? What coins do I need to buy? Should I buy Bitcoin? What's happening? Do I wait? Do I not? So it's happening now. So the FOMO is starting to kick in because now the halving is starting to become a reality. So people want these bits of advice. So it's important to understand what is your strategy. It's not a question of just buying and just forgetting about it. Sure, that is a strategy, but you have to understand what are you in for? What is your game plan, right? Are you looking to hold? Well, any time's a good time to buy Bitcoin if you're willing to hold, right? When I say hold, not for a week, a month, or a year, but hold for long term. Like Michael Saylor said, you know, you keep it for the long duration because Bitcoin, at the rate at which the halving happens every 4 years, it should go up. So, you know, you don't talk to your broker and say, I want to start selling my unit trust and my stuff like that. You say, maybe I need to speculatively, you know, change the portfolio to something else, but you're not talking about selling, right? So Bitcoin should be treated the same way. I got it. Now I need to keep it, right? And I need to maybe, you know, I can take a small portion and diversify, but that's for your broker. That's for your broker to advise you. But you know, there is a lot of speculative interest during this period of time. And of course so, but you have to understand if you're getting into crypto right now at this point in time, and it's not financial advice, Bitcoin is your big bet. Because why? Because all your institutions are getting involved. So we follow the leader, right? We actually front run them, but anyways, but you follow the institution. If they deem it, you know, historically it's going to go up, they would not be selling it to you. So they obviously know something that you don't know. So perhaps, you know, if you don't want to physically buy Bitcoin, perhaps go and, you know, invest in an ETF fund.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in my personal opinion, I say not your keys, not your crypto. So don't, you know, personally, I would say get out there and actually buy Bitcoin. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot, you know, if you've got in your retirement account, you know, you can't just pull that money out without massive fees. So that's a really good place for Bitcoin ETFs. Basically, you know, when we're looking again at historical price increases, here we are coming into the halving and, you know, short term, yeah, like I said, could be a lot of volatility. But as far as the longer term goes, after the halving, we tend to go up for the next, you know, 12 to 18 months. If this one's going to be a little shorter, you know, maybe it is that 12 month period. So, you know, next year about this time, maybe we're going to be peaking. You know, it's hard, really hard to say right now, but obviously, you know, if you're watching the market and kind of just getting a general idea where things are at, that's kind of one way to play it where, you know, it's you're still early if you're getting in right now, right around the halving time. And yeah. And there's plenty of room for growth here.
The ripple effect is, so typically what happens is there's a rush now. So there's a rush to get into Bitcoin. So people buy. Even your pizza guy is buying Bitcoin, right? So there's a big influx of retail. So we've had institutions come in now. They're not done. They're busy accumulating. Then you have retail. Retail means literally the pizza guy buying Bitcoin and your mom and your granny and all that. They put their money into Bitcoin. The Bitcoin price flies. Everybody's like, woo, you know, crypto millionaires. Then what happens is people take profits. Right. So now they've got crypto and they've got profits. Now they're saying, well, what else can I do with this? So then it starts filtering down the list of that top 100, 200, 300, 400 to infinity. It feels like there's so many coins. So that's why that there's a chain effect. There's a ripple effect of why everything pumps. And because those market caps on the smaller coins aren't that great, when the big Bitcoin money starts to filter in, it creates these big spikes of a 10x, a 50x, a 100x, because the margins are so low. For Bitcoin to go 50x, it's almost nearly impossible, right, in this current space. Maybe in when we dead, 2040, 2140, possibly. But for now, it's not possible. So that's where the ripple effect is. And that's why it's the start of that bull market, because that goes back into medium caps, then micro caps, and then it goes back into Bitcoin, and it kind of recycles that whole, you know, up and down chain.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how, you know, the halving really does affect the entire market, not just Bitcoin, just like you said, because the halving event kind of gets every, it's kind of when everybody gets really excited, right? You start seeing a million Google searches out there. The halving event draws attention from, you know, retail, institutional investors. It really brings in a whole lot of money usually to the market, and then gives it, just as you said, that ability to trickle down into all those other coins.
So guys, is this an exciting time to be alive? Most definitely. We are in a super cycle. We've got in multiple countries, especially in the US, we've got the elections happening. ETF funds were approved. We've got the Bitcoin halving. So there's a lot. It brings that time of the day where we introduce the dad's joke. The objective of the dad's joke is not to laugh, right? If you laugh, you lose, and you got to down a pint of beer. And I'm sure Ryan is keen on downing a pint of beer. So am I. But we do want to win. So, Ryan, I am going to go first this time.
All right.
And I'm well prepared. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'll try my best not to laugh here.
Good, 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 good. Ryan, how does a ginger high-five a friend?
Huh?
He claps.
Oh. Wow, that took me way too long. I get it. I get it. That took me way too long. Wow.
The public service announcement, please go hug a ginger.
Oh, there you go. I didn't laugh. All right. Well, all right. You know, crypto's been crazy. So I decided I'm going to start a restaurant. And I was thinking, you know, I kind of want to mix Chinese and Middle Eastern cuisine. I was thinking of calling it Walk Like an Egyptian.
That's good. I had a visual that popped up. Walk like it.
Exactly.
Oh, shit. That's good. That's good. All right.
Oh, boy.
Well, I think it's the first time ever we both are winners. So we both get beer. Yes.
Excellent.
All right, guys, and please don't forget to join our Telegram chat and go through to our socials. We're running a competition, our dad sacks, as you can see below, they are growing. We got Prasaga, we've got Zen, we got Mojo Trolls, we got Space Dogs, we've got some Minutes, we've got some Godzilla, we've got some Kopi. It's starting to grow nicely, so it's never too late to join. Just by joining, you'll be entered into the draw. But as you work up that point scoring system, all right, you'll get rewarded with maybe more tickets into the competition or a random spot prize. So go through and make sure that you join and participate and come chat to us. Come chat to us in the Telegram groups.
Absolutely. Look forward to hearing from you guys.
All right, guys. Take care. Ciao.
The material and information presented in this recording are for entertainment purposes only. Do not misconstrue what you hear as investment or trading advice. Always do your own research. The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed by the guests on this recording are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of Dad's Gone Crypto or its hosts.